Go to the book of James. James chapter number 4. James chapter number 4. This evening we'll read verses 6 through 10 responsively. I'll read verse number 6 and then you'll join me out loud on verse number 7 and we'll read down through verse number 10. James chapter number 4, beginning in verse number 6. The Bible says in James chapter 4 in verse number 6, "But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." And we'll pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for today. Lord, our hearts are full of joy beyond measure. Lord, you've been so good to us. Lord, today was not the only day that you've been extra good to us, but in a unique way, you've allowed us to sit back and kind of see some extra fruit for our labor. The work that's been put in by these people is unimaginable. Lord, thank you for their faithfulness to you these many years. Thank you for our pastor, his vision for our church. Lord, his love for the people, not just in this room, but in this area, Lord, is obvious. Lord, we're excited about what you've done. You've given us a taste of what we can have, and yes, we don't want to go back. You've given us an appetite. Help us to not soon forget what's taking place in our hearts here today. Now we'll stop once again, Lord, not to pause to pray because it's on the agenda, something we're supposed to do, but because we genuinely desire to have your presence in our midst tonight. Lord, it's been a good day, but we'll empty ourselves of the blessings of this morning and be prepared to receive more tonight. Be with our pastor now as he preaches the word of God. Fill him with your power. We'll yield ourselves to you as best as we know how and ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Keep your Bibles open. I want to help you tonight. I'm going to preach fast. I have 35 minutes and I'm going to shut it down whether I'm done or not because y'all are hungry and ready for cupcakes. Amen. But if you'll listen to me, I think I can help you tonight. It is easy to say whatever you're thinking. It takes little energy to give somebody a piece of your mind. Some of you don't have much to give up. I'd warn you about that. You need to keep all you can. It takes far more strength or energy to stop movement than it does to get something moving. Listen to that statement. It takes far more energy to stop movement than it does to get something moving. For instance, one person, if your car doesn't start, you can put it in neutral, and one person can get that thing pushed and get it rolling. Now, even if it's not. But let me ask you a question. If that thing's running 20 miles an hour and doesn't have brakes, who's going to step in front of it and stop it?
Somebody you don't like.
Yeah. You see, it's easy to get the motion going. It takes more energy to stop the movement than it does to get it moving. There are times in life that resisting may be more strength than not resisting. It takes more strength to resist than it does to not resist. I'm thankful for every drunkard, every drug addict that gets clean and gets saved. But it takes more strength for someone not to have ever had those problems than it does to clean one up. Now, we're not going to stop reaching the drug addicts and the drunkies. The drug addicts, the drunkies, and all the junkies, they're welcome anytime at Grace Baptist Church. Now, they're going to get the devil preached out of them, that's for sure. I'm not gonna unload the gun just because they're here. As a matter of fact, I might put an extra round in. We're going to put the magazine in and got an extra one to drop, stop, pop, and load. Amen. We're ready for it. Sometimes silence or few words is more powerful than saying everything you're thinking right now. recently, I had a man. It wasn't in our church. It was in a. I was away from here. He was trying to get me to react to something. He was prompting me. He was being used for evil, and honestly, I'm not even sure he was smart enough to know he was being used for evil. But he kept pushing. Brother Mike, he pushed, and I just didn't say anything. He pushed again, I didn't say anything. He pushed again, I didn't say anything. Well, there's a Bible principle. Once, twice, three times, fourth time, I'm burning your barley field. That fourth time, I just looked at him and I said four words. That's all. I used four, maybe five words. They were not unkind. I didn't say them any louder than I'm talking to you right now. And he went, oh. I happened to be preaching for another person, and that pastor, I told him that person was evil, and I told him to watch. He watched. He said, preacher, he tried to get you to say something three times. I said, yes, sir. I did not respond. It drove him nuts. I said, the fourth time, I didn't say much. He said, no, but it sure shut him up. I said, you got to know how to resist and not give in to the flesh. God tells us that in this passage of scripture, he uses the word resist. Look at verse number 6, right in the middle of the verse. God resisteth the proud. Look at verse number 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil. It's amazing to me that God says resist the proud, resist the devil, but today too many folks are resisting God and submitting to the devil. We're resisting what is right and agreeing with the proud. We've got it backwards. Let's look at knowing when and to whom we should resist. There are times where resistance is good. Did you know I'm not for some of the things our government's doing? I think we've shut our mouths way too long. The problem today isn't the loudness of the bad, it's the quietness of the good. But there's an appropriate way to do it. First of all, God says resist the proud. The word resist is an interesting word. Used here in James chapter 4, let me give you just a two-minute English lesson again. In English, we have basically three tenses of verbs. You have past tense, you have present tense, and you have future tense. In the Greek language, there's a fourth voice, or so to speak, or type of verb, and that is what they call the aorist or linear tense. That means this: once something is set in motion, it keeps going and never stops. It's almost like an eternal word. It's like in geometry, the definition of a line: you start with a dot, and it's got a line with an arrow at the end, and it continues forever and ever off the end of your paper, no matter what intersects it. That's the aorist or linear tense. And in the Greek, some of the verbs are in the linear tense. And the verb resist is in the linear or aorist tense, which means resist and resist and resist and resist and resist. It's not one and done. It's something you have to keep on doing to the very end. God says we're to resist the proud. That doesn't mean you resist it one time and you never have to face it again. Wrong answer. That means you don't wear down saying that I'll resist the proud. The word resist means to openly oppose or to stand against. It is an action word. It's not a passive word. It's not, well, I'm just going to sit here in disagreement. No, get up off your sitter and do something about it. The word resist means I'm going to stand out against something. Hey, the way I preached this morning, I was resisting. I was resisting the devil. I was resisting sin. I decided no matter how many visitors we had, I was going to preach like I normally preach. Somebody said, "Preacher, you was really hitting the pulpit this morning." I said, "I did. I don't even pay attention to it." I noticed a couple times somebody went like this. I woke them up. Amen. Now, wait a minute. The word resist is an active word. It's not a passive word. And the action has to become part of your character. You do it and you do it and you do it and you do it until it becomes reflexive. It's kind of like eating. You do it and you do it and you do it. And you don't have to think about it. You just do it. Amen. You just keep shoveling it down the pie hole. That becomes reflexive. It becomes automatic. When you hear God say, resist the proud, when pride is there, we ought to immediately say, no, I'm not going down that road, whether it be my pride or your pride. The proud are those who appear to be above others. These are people who think they're hot snot on a silver platter, but nothing but a cold booger on a paper plate. Amen. These are people that think they live above everybody else. I'm not talking, there are some people who financially think that way. I've met a lot of rich snobs, but can I tell you something? I've met a lot of poor snobs too. It used to be that poor people used to be a little bit more humble. Now they're more arrogant. Used to be that people were ashamed if they had to get help. Now they're proud of it. These are the people who think they have something because they're better than their fellow person. Can I tell you something? Let me see what God says in Romans chapter 12, verse number 3. "For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Can I tell you something? We ought not think of ourselves to be something we're not. When the men were excavating this ground for our building, there's something about people that run big machinery and run it right. There's something beautiful about that. Amen, Brother Mike? When they can take a piece of machinery and move stuff, and it's just like an extension of their hands. I mean, it's just flows, you know. I've had to run a little bit of that equipment, and it doesn't look like that. One of the guys on one of these bucket trucks that they had out here, he had a claw on it, and he was moving stuff. And I said to the head boss, I said, "Bill," I said, "man, he's good." He said, "Yeah, he's won a lot of competitions, Pastor." He said, "But Pastor, just simple country man." He said, "You won't beat a man in his own trade." I thought, boy, that's simple country, but that's a lot of wisdom. He said, "Let me show you something." He said, "Greg, come on over here." Bill had a ball hat on. He said, "Take my hat off, put it on the ground, pick it back up and put it on my head." Bill stood there with his hands behind his head. He took that big old bucket truck, squeezed that on the bill of his hat, took it off his head, moved over, put it on the ground, picked it back up, put it on his head, and never touched him. I said, "You want me to try that?" He said, "No." I said, "Wise choice." You know, I let those men teach me some things that I did not know. I wasn't going to say I knew everything about it. Shoot. They've forgotten more than I know. Why do we think because we know something that we think we know everything? Be careful. Can I talk to you, parents? Be careful that you think you know more about education than the teachers do. Now, I agree, in public education, that doesn't take much to know more than the teachers. But when it comes to Christian education, be careful when you say you know more than the teacher knows. The staff that we have in our school, between myself and them, we have educated thousands of people. How many of you educated? I've taught them to read and write and do everything from pre-K all the way through college. I think I happen to know a little bit more. And I think my wife's 20-some years of teaching, and Brother Josh and Ruth Ann each have about half a dozen years of teaching in. I'd say between that, we have a little bit more experience than just about everybody in the room. Maybe you ought to submit instead of think you know something. And I'm not angry, and I don't know that we have any problems. I'm trying to preach preventive. This is a vitamin. This isn't a penicillin. Amen. I'm trying to preach preventive. Every person is a sinner. That ought to keep us humble. Well, somebody's picking on my little boy or my little girl. Guess what? We're all sinners. And nobody in their right mind is going to be picking on them. Now, a child will pick on another child, of course. If you have more than one at home, you're seeing it happen at home. What makes you think it's not going to happen somewhere else? God tells us to stand out against those who lift themselves above others. Let me read a verse in Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28:25 says, "He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat." God says, people who always stir up strife. If you constantly have contention, arguing, hurt feelings around you, you might look in the mirror and realize you're proud. It's either your way or no other way. That's pride. There's constantly strife, contention. There's harshness in the home. 1 Peter chapter 5. Go back, just turn over a couple pages. 1 Peter chapter 5. I went too far. I went to 2 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm still in 2 Peter. There we go. That's the right chapter. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 5. "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject unto one another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." Notice that God says that we ought to submit ourselves one to another. If you went to Ephesians 5 in the chapter on marriage, it says that husbands ought to love their wives even as Christ loved the church. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. Then it says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. We are to submit to one another. Everybody doing all right? So we are to resist constantly the pride and arrogancy. Can I tell you where you start? Look in the mirror. If you'll start resisting pride in your own life, you're less apt to point out the problem in somebody else's life. But when somebody lifts themselves above, when people say, "Well, that preacher doesn't know what he's talking about," that's when you just say, "Shut your mouth. I think he knows more than you do, and I'm going to listen to him over you. Don't worry about it." Whether it be me or your own pastor. You see, it's a matter of us doing that which is right, knowing when and how to resist. And God says, resist the proud. The world is proud. It's arrogant. They want to show off with their drugs and their alcohol and their abominable ways, and they want to call us weird. Brother Barnes and I were making visits yesterday, and I talked to a lady, and she said, "Well, sometimes I may not dress the way you think I should dress." I said, "You're fine." I said, "As long as you come church covered, you're all right." I said, "Now, if you step up and start working in the church, you start taking a position to help in Sunday school or work in the nursery, I may ask you to dress a different way to do that, because I think you're serving the Lord, and you ought to step up and do something, just like you would in any other business. You have a uniform to wear." I said, "But you're welcome." By the way, she was here this morning. You say, "How was she dressed?" I don't know. Didn't pay attention, did you? I was glad she was here. I don't care what she was wearing. Now, I do want you covered, all right? That's important. But I'm not excusing things. I'll let you grow in the Lord and let God work on you that way. But if you're going to step up into positions, I ask that you step up dress standards a little bit, whether you're a man or a woman. That's just the way it is. And I'm not mad at anybody. I don't say much about it. You say, why? Because we don't have much trouble with it. But isn't it amazing? Somebody that has come for just a few weeks, They felt bad about it already. I didn't say a word about it. We know what's right and wrong. All right, moving on. Number two, God tells us to resist the devil. James 4:7 says, resist the devil. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Too many people are resisting God and yielding to the devil. Too many of us resist God. When God starts working, we say, oh, no, I don't want to do that. God, I don't want that. I made a statement in chapel on Friday. Is that when I preached chapel? I forget. All the days have run together. I looked at the boys and girls in chapel. And I said, I preached a sermon on Philippians 4:13. I can do all things. And when I said to them, look, if you can have that attitude, when God asks you to do something, you can say, I can. I can do all things. I also told them they could do their work because all things includes their schoolwork. That means their math, their spelling, their penmanship, their history, their science, their English grammar. They can do it all because God said, I can do all things. I don't want to hear our kids say, I can't do that. Good night. If they'd have grown up in my house, they'd have had their mouth washed out with soap and wouldn't sit down for a week. My dad, and this is what I told the kids. I said, look, my daddy taught me can't means it just takes longer to get it done. That's all it means. Now, I say that to say this. I told the boys and girls, if God asks you to do something, are you going to say, I can't? Does God ask us to do something we cannot do? No, he doesn't. So if God asks us to do it, we ought to say, I can. Not resist him, but we're to resist the devil. Notice the word devil there is not capitalized. It doesn't talk about the devil. It means the devilish system. The devil's evil system. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and I've said this before, but I'm going to reiterate it because we've got a lot of new folks. Ephesians 6:11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Notice small d. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That is the devil's system. It's talking about governments. It's talking about influencers like Hollywood and the entertainment industry. It's talking about education. It's talking about many things in high places. Now watch this. God says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. And this devilish system, we are to stand out and not let it influence us. You're not going to shut me up about the direction the world's going. We're to stand out strongly against the devil. Now, listen to me very carefully here. There's not a person in this room, including this preacher, that's ever faced the devil face to face. You're not important enough, and neither am I. He's dealing with the Nancy Pelosi's. I think he swung an ugly stick and nailed it right in the face. Amen? He's dealing in government leaders. He's dealing with people of high power, the Bill Gateses and the Warren Buffets. They're the ones that are perpetrating the evilness of the devil's system. Yeah, George Soros and others. We could list a lot of names. Now, wait a minute. I don't think they are the devil. But that's where he's concentrating his efforts. Now watch this, definitely Mr. Fauci. We're to stand strongly against these type of things. God says resist the devil. That means don't give in to it. God does not want us to accept the alphabet soup sodomite liberals of today. I'm not supposed to say, well, it's their choice. It's against the word of God. It's wrong. I'm not changing it. I don't care if they're sitting in this church or they're marching up and down the streets. I'm not shutting up about it. When somebody says the King James Bible is a good version, but it's not the only version, I'm not going to shut up about it. You say, why? Because they're a heretic. They're an idiot. I've lost some friends over that. That's all right. I'll still be their friend, but they're not going to speak here. I check them out, just so you know. And the moment somebody stands up and says something like that, you're going to watch the sermon end in about 3 seconds. Because it's going to get up and I'm going to say, excuse me, you're done. Have a seat. And I'll show you what they said wrong and I'll finish the sermon. Amen. It might be a little hot. I say, preacher, would you do that? I'm commanded by God to do it. Doesn't bother me. You see, we're to resist the devil's system, not embrace. Well, all love is love. That's the devil's filthy lie. That's a lie from the devil's system. We're to resist the evil of the world in the church and not embrace it. God said, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Did you know church isn't supposed to look like a rock concert? Do you know that church isn't supposed to look like Hollywood or Hollyweird, whatever you want to call it? You know that church isn't supposed to look like a sports bar? Amen. I don't know what one looked like, but Brother Scott said that's what they were. yeah. I think we get a little too much in trouble. We want to be like the world to reach the world. God says, come out from among them. I'm talking to more and more people that have been involved in what we call the community churches long enough to where they're seeing that it's phony. And they're starting to say, it's a good ride, but we're not going anywhere. They get a lot of money, but I'm not getting anything for it. Yeah, because it's a fake. Then they come here and they go, ooh, that's shell shock. But at least they got the truck loaded. They're not used to chewing that hard, but swallow twice, it'll be okay. So God tells us to resist the proud, and he says resist the devil. I have 10 minutes and I have 5 more points, but hang in there. These will go fast. God tells us how to resist the proud and how to resist the devil. Look at James chapter 4 again. Look at verse number 8. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hand, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, then he shall lift you up. God says, first of all, draw nigh to God. Let me ask you a question. Don't answer it out loud. How's your walk with God? Isn't it amazing? The closer we get to God, the farther from the world we get. Did you know you can't be close to the world and close to God at the same time? We have a lot of newer Christians in our church. And I tell you all the time, you won't have to separate from the wrong crowd. Just keep hanging around God. They'll separate from you. You start doing what you're supposed to do, the wrong crowd will go... I'm talking about, have you read your Bible? I'm not saying you have to read it for 3 hours a day. I don't care if you read just one verse a day, but have you read the Word of God every day? I believe every Christian ought to read the Bible every day of their life. Everybody doing all right? I think sometime in your life it'd be good for you to read through the Bible once in a calendar year. I surpassed that a long time ago. I generally average 3 to 4 times a year just in my Bible reading, not my study. But I think, and I very rarely start in Genesis and end in Revelation. I read what I need and I go to it and get what I need. I'm not against it, but I think that you lose some continuity at times if you understand the scriptures. And I've read it so much, I've actually become my own concordance at times. And I'm able to start putting things together, and that's how it works. I'm talking about, how's your prayer life? Have you talked to God today? Have you walked with God today? I'm glad when I got out of my truck about 5 this morning, I reached in my pocket and I said, God, we're going to have a good day for you today. I can't believe I've got a key to your house. I get to open your house today. It's all ready. We're going to have a big crowd here. And I went through this auditorium and I knelt at every chair asking God to do something. went to the nursery and asked God to help those workers. Amen, Paula? Where's she at? She had a blowout in there today. She didn't blow out, but one of the kids did. Thought I better say that. Oh, wait a minute. I asked God to bless those little babies that they would get saved early in life and they wouldn't have to face the dredges of sin. I went into each Sunday school room and I went into the junior church room and I went through every part of this church asking God to bless it. I literally walked through the parking lot and the parking areas and asked God to make things run smoothly so that people could find a place to park and get into church easily. I prayed for each and every person in our church by name today. You say, why? I want to get God in on it. How about you? I think we ought to be at every service we could possibly be in. Well, Dr. Lee Robertson, love Dr. Robertson. Tiny little man. He wasn't any bigger than I was, a little bit skinnier, especially in his older years. Dr. Robertson, 42 years, Chattanooga, Tennessee. Tennessee Temple University. He would say this, three to thrive, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, got to have three services a week. You eat three meals a day, three services a week, got to have three to thrive. That's just the way it was. No wonder he baptized 1,000 people every year for 40 years in a row. Huh. Maybe we ought to be here more. Maybe we ought to obey and live the Bible, not just say we know it. God doesn't care how much you know. He cares how much you live. My aunt will tell you, they've had girls through their homes that knew the Bible better than some preachers, but they live like the stinking devil. You can have all the scripture knowledge you want, but if you're not living it, what good is it? You see, we ought to tell others about him. The closer you get to God, the farther from the world you'll be. The closer to the world you are, the farther from God you are. That's why God says that we love not the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You can't love the world and love God at the same time. You're going two different directions. So, first of all, draw nigh to God. Second of all, cleanse your hands, you sinners. Make sure you do clean things. Cleanse your hands. That means wash your hands. That means after you use the washroom, that means in everything that you do, wash your hands. Cleanse your hands. We ought not play or work with the evil of this world. Be careful playing with evil things. I've been on a rampage for about 2 or 3 years about some of the video games that involve evil. Parents, I think adults have allowed evil into their own homes with a lot of the movies and the video games that we play. God says, cleanse your hands from them. We're not supposed to depend on the world for our fun and our entertainment. Let's make sure our works and our pleasures line up with the Word of God. You say, well, what about, you have to decide that for God, not me. You answer to God for it. If you have a question about it, my daddy always taught me, if you got a question, you might rethink it. Because it probably ain't right. When in doubt, don't. You're safer that way. Number three, purify your hearts. The heart is the center of emotion. God says, purify your feelings. God says, purify your emotions. Now listen to me very carefully here. We need to keep our feelings in line with Bible principle, not our flesh. We have too many people living by their feelings. Education today is about feelings, not fact. There are people in this room, your children, you know what I'm talking about. They bring papers home. How does this make you feel? Every question, how does this make you feel? What emotions do you want to express about this? Well, guess what? When Dad said take the trash out, he didn't ask me how I felt about it. Matter of fact, if I said I don't feel like I want to, he said, I'll give you a feeling that'll make you want to. It made me want to without the feeling, amen? You don't need a feeling to do something right. Feelings are way too overrated. The Bible is pure, and our emotions are only pure when they line up with the Word of God. When we put our emotions in line with the Word of God, we may sound harsh to the world, we may sound harsh to someone else, but we're in line with God and the Word of God. By the way, God didn't say don't have emotions. But we're not to let our feelings control us. Life is not about feelings. I don't care how sincere someone is, they can be sincerely wrong. You will face hurt, but don't let it destroy you. You're going to face opposition. It says here, be afflicted and mourn. We can't stop death. We can't stop pain. God never promised you'd go through life with no problems. And if you're going to resist the devil and you're going to resist the proud, you're going to face opposition. You're not going to feel like it sometimes. But you can't get through it without something called joy. Did you know joy is not happiness? Joy requires opposition. Joy is the right emotion in the face of opposition. Joy was 2 years ago when I stood here and preached my mom's funeral. I didn't lose it because I knew where she was at. And I helped my family, I helped our church get through that. And with Brother Jimbo, and with Matthew's wife, and with Miss Lily, and with Brother Fred. And 2 years ago tomorrow, Michael, my son-in-law, his mother passed away. Went to Georgia and preached her funeral and helped that family and that church. Hey, can I tell you something? Was I happy that Sarah passed away? No, I was not. But I was able to bring joy because I had my feelings under control. That was the hardest funeral I've preached in my entire ministry. Preaching a pastor's wife's funeral at 52 years old. Whew. That church was, it was horrible how devastating it was. But man, we had revival cut loose. We saw the joy in all of that. God never said that you'd have a life without problems. Resisting evil will not bring happiness, but you can find joy while you resist evil. Number last, and I'm a minute over, humble yourselves. I'll mention it and be done. Humble yourselves. Did you know God says if you'll resist and humble yourself, He will lift you up? How about you quit worrying about how you look to everybody else and just look how you look to God? You know, if you'll keep looking down at His feet, He'll pick you up when you need picked up. I can't tell you how many times I've prayed for a preacher, texted him and said, I've been at the feet of God today for you. A dear friend of mine, Brother Gelhausen, over in New Jersey, one day texted me back and he said, I thought that was you beside me this morning, preacher. That was a holy moment. To hear a friend of mine say, I thought that was you next to me, but I didn't look up. You see, don't seek to move up. Just keep moving and let God show you what direction to go. Amen. Quit worrying about what you want to do. How about we just stay humble and let Him tell us what to do? Humble yourself so that God doesn't have to do it for you. Can I tell you something? If you'll humble yourself, God won't have to take you by the back of the head and go, I've been slapped up the side of the head by God before. You don't want to do that. Grace Baptist Church, let's learn to resist what God says we should resist. Let's decide that what we have seen God do today and in the last 4 weeks can be done every week. Let's not push for 4 weeks. How about we push till Jesus comes? We got a taste of what can be. We've got a momentum going. Let's not back off and say, okay, it's done. It's not done. Till you hear the trumpet blow or to where you lie down and take your last breath and wake up in glory, it's not done. It's going to take resisting the proud. even our own pride. It's going to take resisting the devil. Will you make it the next 10 years here at Grace Baptist Church? Will you be here in the next 10 years? I think the only way you'll do it is by resisting the proud and resisting the devil. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. I wonder, are you willing to resist the right way? Are you willing to stick in there? Are you willing to do it God's way?